Talking about the second week in a row of the doctrine of salvation. Last week we spoke about repentance, had a good time. This week we're going to speak about regeneration. And the first question that we ask is, what is it and how important is the doctrine of regeneration to us? Those of you that's been members of Olivet, remember the late Pastor Stanley preached Regeneration 1, Regeneration 2, and Regeneration 3. And if you would like to get a copy of that treatise, you just see Brother Cliff Jackson, and he'll give you all three copies of, well, that is two copies of that sermon, absolutely free, because we didn't, when he preached that series, we didn't have a tape ministry. The first sermon was so dynamic, I brought my cassette deck, had it hid, because I was in the choir. I had the cassette deck hid, and I had a microphone up to the pulpit area, and he was preaching, and I looked at the VU meters, and I said, we've got to put this on tape. This is something dynamic. And it was November of 1980 that he preached Regeneration 1, 2, and 3, and that's been one of the finest tapes that you can get on what it means to be born again. So if you'd like to get his sermon and to compare his words with Pastor John's sermon, see Brother Jackson. The tapes are absolutely free. How important is regeneration? Well, Bonnie, you might say, Pastor John, I really don't know what regeneration is. Yes, you do. When your battery goes dead, my man, and you need a battery boost, that battery needs to be regenerated. The battery's going dead, and it is no good to no one. As a matter of fact, you can get a brand new, shiny, black BMW, have a tank full of gas, have brand new Michelin tires on there. I mean, you can have everything gold-coated and everything, but if you have a dead battery, all you have is some kind of a machine that won't go from point A to point B and won't mean anything. What is a biblical illustration? There are many of us in churches this morning, not only here at Olivet, but all around our city and all around our country, dressed up, looking real nice, a fine, so-called moral, upstanding human being, but their heart has not been regenerated, and on the inside, they are deader than a doornail. And what God wants to do is talk to you about a very important doctrine, this doctrine which speaks about what it means to be ignited, excited about Jesus. You know, what makes me go out somewhere, and then when somebody's standing next to me in an elevator, and the person just starts to cry, and instantly I know that there's something dead on the inside of them that needs to come to life. What is that secret thing that makes me reach out to that person and share Jesus Christ with them? It's nothing more than the fact that I've been regenerated, and they need that also. By regeneration, we are admitted into the very body of Christ. A lot of people think that regeneration is something metaphysical, something that takes place way out in the ionosphere, and that when we come and take the pastor's hand and shake it, that we're in the body. No, that very act of regeneration is the thing that unites all of us with Jesus Christ. Now, there might be that other person sitting out there. I've heard messages like this before. I'm already regenerated. What are you preaching to me for? Let me do this morning. Let me, Brother James Glover, approach the situation as if you were never regenerated. Because I believe that preaching is not only for the ones that have never had an experience with Christ, but for the ones that have had an experience in Christ, but have forgotten how important that experience is. One of the most important things in your Christian experience is to remember. Now, let me take you back. I was born approximately 47 years and some months ago. I do not, Jackie, remember when I was physically born. As a matter of fact, Deacon Edmonds, I don't think you remember when you were physically born. None of you in this room remember when you were physically born. The only one that remembers is probably your mother, if she sat next to you, because she saw you when the doctor pulled you out and held you up. Isn't that right, sister? Yes, you remember when your sons were born. You know it. You know when your children are born. You were there. But they have no memory of that at all. And in the very same sense, you look at the Christian church today, supposed to be born again, Sister Frost, and you ask, when were you born again? That person doesn't even know how to act, move, and think like a believer. You might ask me, when were you born again? I'll tell you. It was an August summer night in 1967. It was a Thursday night. I was with some fellas, and we were smoking some grass. We were in Westwood. God had been dealing with me for 2 or 3 weeks. I was looking for the essence of life. And when they came back to my apartment and put some sheets up over the window, we was getting high, 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 and my heart was sick of that mess. I said, all this mess is doing is camouflaging who I really am. The discussion came up because they were college students. A few of them going to UCLA, took probably philosophy 101 and didn't know why the world spins. And one said, do you think that there's a God? And I said, ease up. I didn't say chill out. That wasn't the word. I said, ease up, man. Let's not get religious. You see, I don't know whether there's a God. I was brought up in church. I've seen folk get shouting and happy and run and fall out. But I don't know whether there's a God. And I'm not talking about inconsistencies. It's just, I said, well, if there is a God, let him reveal himself to me. And I believe it. When he did that, he regenerated me. People, he literally changed the way I lived, changed the way I think about everything. My moral principles took a completely different scale. See, regeneration, my friend, is not a holy dance down the aisle of a church. Regeneration is not getting in the pool and getting wet, coming up wet and drying off. Regeneration is not years and years and years of reading your Bible. Regeneration is an act of God in your heart. So therefore, let us endeavor to investigate this aspect of this doctrine of salvation, of regeneration. Firstly, because I outline here, and I think it's good to outline because I think that we're intelligent people. Sometimes you go to church and people just say, well, now, preacher, I want you to tell me what the Word of God means. I want you to outline this morning. You believers, I want you to share this with someone. Someone may say, why don't you do what I do? You used to do it. You don't do it anymore. Why don't you do it? You have to say, well, I've been regenerated. Now, you may say, now, like where Deacon Frost come from, he say, well, I've been boned again. Well, you may put it that way. You may say, I've been regenerated. Well, you can say, like I saw in the movie last night, I've been saved. But they're going to ask you, what does that mean? You can't say, because Pastor John told me I can't do that anymore. You can do anything you want to do. As a matter of fact, I can leave here and go down to a bar and get sloppy drunk and fall off the stool if I wanted to. The issue is, dear friends, would I? It's impossible because I've been regenerated. It's not the issue whether I could have an illicit affair with some other woman. I could. The issue is, would I? Not if I've been truly regenerated. It's not the issue that I can lie and I can cheat, Robert, and do all those kind of filthy things. The issue is, would I? I cannot because I have been regenerated. Now, first of all, let me say this. Regeneration is not baptism. Regeneration is not going into the waters of baptism at all. It is not that. I'm going to quote something to you. John chapter 3, verse 5. And it says this, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. Let me stop right there. When Jesus says born of the water, he is not talking about baptism. He's not talking about baptism at all. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm regenerated if I'm baptized. No. Did you know that I know more people in church that have been baptized? And you know some of them too. They've been good baptized Baptist folk, Methodist folk, Episcopalian folk, charismatic folk, non-charismatic, been baptized and shouted when they was in the water. I seen one baptism. I went to a church, brother, and the preacher baptized them, and the woman, she took the preacher down in the water. And everybody was shouting and they was happy, and the person... Oh, my gosh. How many have I baptized and they're not sitting in front of me this morning? Just went through the rigors of religion. You see, the term born in the Greek is a metaphorical word that's used in the book of John that means, you see, this is what happens when you're born of God. It is a gracious act of God in where he confers upon you that believe the nature of his person. You see, body man, when you're born again, when you're regenerated, you take on his nature. See, people will see, Green, you've changed. You're not the same man you were. Brother, listen, let me tell you, sister, something. When you marry a man that's been changed, you know that that's not the same man if he wasn't changed before he was regenerated. You parents that have these children, you know whether they're saved. Now, you know what? You can raise certain children up in a Christian home and everything, and they can grow up and they can come to Christ, and then you don't see the change there. You know why? Because if they come up in a godly home and godliness is done all around them, I'm going to tell you, they've never practiced iniquity and wickedness. It is easier when a child grows up in a Christian home where mom and daddy are Christian and doing all that, and then the child says, I received Christ, you don't see that much of a change. Now, let's change it around. You have a child growing up in a home where Christ is not being lived out, you will be able to easily see the immediate change of that child. So it is God's disposition or nature which takes control of your spiritual life. But in John chapter 3, verse 5, it also says, by water and the Spirit. Now, water is a wonderful Greek word, too. Hudor is a word, and it's figuratively used in the gospel. Now, let me tell you what happened. You know what? This is beautiful. When I did research on this week, myself and another brother was talking about this term. Water symbolizes the moral and practical cleansing that's been effected when that defilement has been removed. When you're born again or regenerated, moral defilement is washed away in a supernatural sense. Now, there's one church group that teaches you're not you're not saved, you're not regenerated unless you're baptized. Now, we know who those folks are. They're the Church of Christ. It says you cannot be saved unless you go through the waters of baptism. Let me share something with you. Next Sunday, I'm going to baptize Bonnie. If Bonnie has not said to Christ, I want you, I need you in my life, he can be dunked 50 times. Now let me share something else. It doesn't mean that once he comes up out of that water, he's perfect. Because some of you are going to have your magnum. Well, now let me watch. No, what are you? Wait, what about you? Are you ready to give it over to God? Listen, I'm going to tell you the most challenging thing that Christ asks you to do is to offer your life as a living sacrifice for God. I'm going to give you some more scriptures. This one, practically all of us knows. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 explains what regeneration is. The writer says, he saved us, not on the basis of the deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration, or the washing of the new birth. That's what that word means. And renewing of the Holy Spirit. When you are regenerated in terms of the doctrine of salvation, you've been washed. Now, let me share something with you. All of us have been washed. But here's the problem. We take one washing and we assume that we are clean. You've got to be washed, Sister Evans, every day. And you start that washing process as you get up and you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, I'm going to start the day. What do you want from me? As a matter of fact, before I went to bed last night, I talked wrong to my spouse. Wash me of that before I start the day. See, washing is a daily process, friends. If you're born again, you're just not washed one time. Listen, last Sunday night, we could barely have Bible study here. They had a party next door, and the young man told me what the party was for. He says, Pastor John, I was confirmed today. That's in their denomination where they get confirmed, and then they get loaded. And they party. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That person that told me that is taught that he doesn't even have to worry about salvation. He can go out and do anything he wants to do in this life, because when he leaves, the church has power to provide salvation. That is not regeneration. That is not regeneration. That is not what we're talking about here. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we see something else. It says right here, for you have been born again, not of the seed, which is perishable, but the imperishable seed, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. You know what Peter is saying? You're regenerated by the Word of God. Don Ross, you got born again. You became a new creature in Christ because of what you heard the Bible teach you, and you accepted it in your life. It is by no deeds that you do. As a matter of fact, you cannot, listen, let me take the burden from you that are wrestling with this. You don't have to worry about what you have to do to get to heaven. Because Jesus did it 2,000 years ago on Calvary. He died for you. The only thing that you have to do to get to heaven today, you don't have to do church works, you don't have to fall out, you don't have to speak with tongues, you don't have to do all this other kind. All you have to do is one thing, say yes to Him. When He talks to you, when you come to a place of worship like this, and you know deep down in the crevices of your heart that God is talking to you, saying, you know I loved you, I've loved you from the foundation, all you've got to just say yes to Him and say, Jesus, that's something sweet happening in me. I'm loving what I'm hearing. What is this what church is all about? You know what the Holy Spirit will tell you? Yes. Say yes to me. And I'll change your whole life. Now, what the devil's going to do is, man, you got to give up this. You got to give up that. You got to give up this. And then a sweet, small voice is saying, give up what, man? When you come to me, I'm God. I own everything. Give me your life, and everything for the rest of your life will be the way it's supposed to be, because I'm in charge. Most people think that becoming a Christian or becoming regenerated is the worst thing that you can do. Nobody's going to like me anymore. Right. A lot of people don't like me. A lot of people don't like me. You know, a lot of people come and say, see, Coleman, you look like a fun guy. Let's have some fun. I says, well, how do you define fun? Let's go out and get a drink. Sure, I'll go out and get a drink. May I have a lemonade? Oh, no, man, we can't have fun with you drinking lemonade. Why not? You said, let's go get it a drink. All right, soda pop. Oh, Coleman, come on, you're a square, man. Lighten up a little bit, ease up. Let's have some fun. Why can't I have fun when I'm clothed in my right mind? Why must I get out of my mind to have some fun? If I get too far out of my mind, they may do something with my body I don't want them to do, and that ain't fun. That's called abuse, body abuse, my body abuse. And I will not do that. See, I've been regenerated. Prior to my becoming regenerated, when somebody would say, come on, Coleman, let's go out and have some fun, I really gave them a good time. But afterwards, I was dead as a doornail on the inside. Regeneration. Regeneration. James chapter 1, verse 18. I want you to go there with me, because we're talking about what regeneration is. I'm there. It says, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits amongst His creatures. Regeneration happens as we are brought forth out of the world by, Linda, nothing less than the preaching of the word of God. You might say, what makes a person change? It is accepting. Bonnie, listen to me, brother. It is you accepting the word of God as valid in your life. Valid. Church is not a valid experience unless your heart has been changed. Church becomes a religious experience, but the Word of God makes it valid. The Word of God, in other words, the Word of God provides for my heart a cleansing power. Let me share with some of you that are afraid of the Christian experience. You know how you get better day by day? I want to ask you one question. How much of the Word of God do you believe every day of your life? I'm just going to tell you, how much of it do you believe? How much of it are you going to let take control of your life? What does the Word say about lying, gossiping, cheating, sinning? What are you going to do with it? Your Christian life becomes something powerful only as you take it. Point two of the outline, reformation is not regeneration. Now, you know what reformation is. It's a process of human reform. They have a reformed church movement. But reformation is not regeneration. You don't reform. You don't say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this now. Wait a minute. He died for you 2,000 years on Calvary. You don't have to reform. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. You can't reform. You can't do it on your own. It never has been done on your own. Regeneration is not a natural forward step in man's development. Did you know that Darwin would say to the Christian church, Darwin would say if he were alive today, you know Charles, the evolutionist, he says, oh yes, Christianity is nothing but man reforming himself. And a lot of people in church will say, that's right, man, I don't do what I used to do. Well, do you really want to do it in your heart? Well, heck yes, I do. Why won't you do it? Because God will send me to hell? No, that's reformation. Ask me, do I not want to go out and get loaded? No. Why? The desire's gone. What did you do? Nothing. I asked him down to take the desire. I said, Lord, I used to drink all that stuff and smoke all that stuff and take those. I said, Lord, take the desire. Fill the empty place with something else. Guess what God did? Do you really love me? I'm crazy about you. As a matter of fact, I saw a sign in a bookstore yesterday that said, Jesus is awesome. And that's the way he is to me. He is awesome. I mean, he said, ask me and I'll do it. I said, Jesus, will you take the desire away? Yes, I will. Boom, took it away. Whoa, don't have the appetite anymore. It's not reformation. It's not you reforming yourself. It's not that at all. It is the supernatural act of God in man's heart. God is doing, listen. God wants to get deep down in you, people, and he wants to say, come to, listen. One of my most difficult times when counseling is that when I am able to put my finger on issues. And you should see what people do when I put my finger on the issue. They begin to wiggle. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in men's lives today. They're saying, come on, I know you know that's true. And he's tickling the thing, but you won't give in. It is a result of a spiritual crisis in your life. See, now, Bonnie, you have to come to a crisis point. This is what God does to you. And I think about it, especially when I look at black America now, especially middle-income black America. I mean, on the upward mode economically. I mean, we're on the way up. As a matter of fact, there are some pastors of some churches, you know what kind of members they're looking for? Hey, the wife's got to drive a Beamer, the husband a Mercedes, they got to live in a condo, they got to be making up in the $50,000, $60,000 bracket, and, you know, everything is going positive, and everybody drives nice little cars and wear nice, fancy flash ties and nice suits and alligator shoes and everybody's talking very, 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 very proper. Guess what Jesus wants to do? Jesus says, you don't have to put a front up with me. I know the anxiety of your heart. Reforming and going to a church that makes you feel like you're somebody when on the inside you know you're really nobody is not what it's all about. You need to be born again. You need to be regenerated. That's what it is. Regeneration is not evolution. You're evolving towards godliness. Did you know that there's some people in the church who always wants to, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll give the Bible study, I'll do that, and they think that all their work in the church is making them more and more tougher with God. And you know what God might be saying? You didn't speak to your wife right. I know you want to run off and go on and lead the Bible study. I know you want to lead this. I know you want to do this. I know you want to go out and buy two more commentaries. And hold it! You didn't speak right to your sister. What's the problem? And then you get mad. And see, we substitute religious stuff for being regenerated. So, it's not evolving towards godliness. It is the communication of a new life. It is a revolution. It is a change of direction from you going in one direction, going to another one. And Robert, there's not a cotton-picking thing you can do about it. Let me share with you. I was saved 1 week, 67, and it was a Friday night. Leonard, he's gone on now. He's dead. I would share with Leonard, but he invited me to a party at Marietta's house. I'm not giving last names, so you don't know who they are. Leonard said, Coleman, we're going to have a party at Marietta's house. I'm a new Christian, Hazel. I didn't know very many people in the church. 1 week, my Friday nights were always filled with laughter, pleasure, excitement, drinking, people, sex, and all that. I drove my little white car up, and I parked right down, and upstairs, the people, his sister, they were partying up there. Leonard looked out and saw me, John, I knew you dropped that stuff, man, I knew you. And then my hands was on the steering wheel. I'd only heard one sermon in my life, and that's the one that I heard when I came here to this church and sat in the back row that the late pastor preached, and that next Friday, because I hadn't joined the choir or anything. And he said, I'm going to come down and bring you up here myself. Now, let me tell you something. In and of my own, I wanted to go with him. But immediately, something else on the inside, my heart started to race. I could not explain it. My heart started to race. I said, what is going on? Fear came out. Now, I wasn't afraid of the man, but fear came all over me. While he was coming down the stairs, I started up the car, and I went home, and I kind of cried. I said, well, Lord, my life is over. All I'm going to do is find an old Bible with a black cover and read it all my life. And that's going to be me the rest of my, no more women, no more life, no more sex. I mean, I'm just going to be a maniac, a Bible lunatic. I'm 23 years young, man. You want me to give up what? And I kept coming to church. I kept coming to church. And then what God did is he put me in the fellowship of a group, a family called the Finisters. And they were just growing in Christ too. I'd go by there every Friday night. Then I joined the choir with them. We'd have fish fries, eat some chili beans and cornbread. We'd talk, and we'd talk about our struggling in our Christian relationship. And within 5 to 6 months, I was solidly in this church. A group of believers were around, and I began to grow. And lo and behold, 1986, they said, we'll call you as the pastor. Isn't that great? And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, James, but I don't think I look miserable to me. But my first approach when I first got saved, that's what I thought was going to happen. So regeneration is a revolution. It's a change of direction resulting from that new life. Regeneration is not a natural phenomenon. It does not happen naturally. Well, if I pray enough, it's going to zap me. Did you know that a lot of people are waiting on something to zap them, Deacon Blake? I mean, you can go to certain churches and say, pray and we'll lay hands on you, and then the Holy Ghost, he going to fall on you, and then you're going to go, wait a minute, hold it. And when he did that, he communicated with me in my mind, I want you to tell everybody what great things that I've done for you. Hey, that's scripture. That's what he said. That's what he said to Paul. That's what he said to everybody. He says, go tell them what great things I've done for you. And how could I go tell them? I didn't know where to go. Guess what I did? I called my aunt, Desi Reed Talbot, the only person that I knew in my family that attended church every Sunday. I called and I told Desi, something happened. What do I do? You know the first question she asked me, boy, what you been smoking? Because she knew what I used to do. She knew me. Boy, what you been smoking? I said, oh, Desi, I haven't. Hey, listen. And I told her about the experience and she said, well, I don't believe you. But come and pick me up for church Sunday. See, that's the way Christians are. Christians are honest. Boy, I know what you've been smoking. I know what you've been. But see, the regeneration process is not a phenomenon that you can describe. So don't try to describe it because you can't. It's not an advanced step in the development of your human life. Our kind, that is humankind, can do nothing to bring about the process of new life. You can't. I can't. Christ does. Now, I'm going to, Deacon Blake, can I use you for an example? I cannot explain Deacon Peter Blake. I cannot explain when he used to come by my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, sloppy drunk, cry. You know, because, see, I was in the city. I can't, and now the brother, look at him, dressed up, married, got a family, talking to every, you, whenever the man comes to this church, Tracy Robinson says, everywhere Blake goes, he's talking about Jesus. Oh, man, you need the Lord. Now, you explain that phenomenon. I can't explain him. I can't figure him out. Surely, I didn't do it. He'd come by the house, and Lucy, John, who is this? I said, my living room smelling like Seagram's. What is this? You know what I said? I said, Blake, man, Jesus wants in. He wants in, Blake. He wants in. He wants. How many years? Blake, was 7, 8 years? Takes time. And then we've been praying for him. His mother's been praying for him. See, so this is not a natural thing that you can put your finger on and say, well, I know what happened. It's not. Thirdly, regeneration is a spiritual quickening. It is a new birth. Now, I want to share this with you, and it's important that I do that. It is a spiritual quickening. It is a new birth. It is nothing less than the impartation of a new kind of divine life. What I mean by the term impartation, God imparts to you people and me his life. Ooh, Jesus is awesome. Sister Brady, he gave you him to live in you. That means when you would be wiped out by mess, he fills you with his joy. That means when you have no money to do anything and they're getting ready to take everything from you, you never self-destruct. That means that the person that you felt loved you the most, when they run, you feel like you still have someone loves you greater than that. God is awesome, people. And if the Christian church recognized that today, they would not be going through the fantasies that they're going through. It is not the old nature altered or revigorated. Did you know that some people think that God's just going to alter your sin? He doesn't want to alter it. He wants to throw it out. Sister Needham, you know what I'm talking about. He doesn't want to alter you. He wants to throw out the garbage and replace it with something beautiful, with something new. That's what he does. That's why our text says that if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Fourthly, regeneration is something else. Now, wait a minute. I didn't want to jump down fourth. I had a reference because that's a New Testament scripture that I just quoted, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter 36, and you see where that first came from. I had a reference in my notes, and I think it's important. Because did you know that a lot of times people think that the Bible is just for us New Testament people, and God never speaks about new hearts, new lives? I'm in Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to start with verse 25, but I'll let everybody get a chance to find it. Ezekiel chapter 36 is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet, and God was trying to talk through Ezekiel to let Israel know that God wants to do a change in your life. I think this is the key, the major part of the text of Scripture. Listen what God says that he'll do. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from you, that is, from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And look what he says in verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you, there's the key, friends, that's imputation, and cause you to walk in my statutes. So let me stop right there. He said, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and that's what's going to make you live right. See, Tony Jr., it's not you trying to listen to your daddy. It's him saying, I want to put me in you, and that's the force. Oh, Luke Skywalker, oh, that was a good movie. But I remember when Obi Kenobi or whatever his name was, may the force be with you, young Luke. I said, that's a biblical concept. That's a biblical concept. I will put my spirit in, that's what's going to cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. See, Robert, that's why that's why when I sin as a believer, I feel extremely guilty. You know, often I tell my dear wife, Lucy, I say, Lucy, honey, don't worry. Never no one will come between me and you. Because if it does, God will scare the literal hell out of me. That's what he's saying in this verse. I will cause you. In other words, when you are regenerated, a process of ownership has taken place. You no longer belong to you anymore. God is your father. You are his property. And I tell young men all the time, I say, young men, let me tell you something, because I'm going to tell you something. Tony, you are right, brother. You young men better listen to me. Women outnumber you now 10-1. And these women out here are desperate because they can barely find a decent young man anywhere. And these women out here looking for so many other different kind of sexual, that's why I'm going out to the school board tomorrow. Now, how can you put this in public schools? But you young men, you are a commodity, and you better protect yourselves, because these women are out here trying to rake up who they can, and the men that are doing it, the ones that are left clean, I was reading an article and it grieved me, for it told me in 1993, we're going to see the first effects of the 10-year-old AIDS virus fallout when hundreds of thousands of people just die. That means people have been hanky-panking since 1981 out there and they don't know who they've been hanky-panking with and got the HIV. 1992 and 1993 is when the domino effects takes place. Medical insurance, they've been saying it all in the news last week. I don't know whether you heard it. Medical insurance will not cover you. It costs now an average of $75,000 to care for one AIDS patient, and none of them recover. Our medical system, everything is going chaos. I read the first chapter of Tony Evans' book. I don't want to take the punchline away, but Tony used a very good example when he used the analogy of Humpty Dumpty, and I just like to share it. In Tony Evans' book, I forget the name of it, I just bought it yesterday, read the first chapter this morning in my devotions at home. He said that the world is like Humpty Dumpty, the United States. We've had a great fall. And then he says, the second part of that nursery rhyme is when all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, that means that the government is helpless. They can't do anything for our situation. I'm going to tell you people what the answer is. Churches like Olivet. Because we teach abstinence, we teach obedience, and we teach the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Based upon this scripture, and look if you will to verse 28. And he says, and I will, and then he says, now this is if you keep his ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I shall be your God. God is saying there's a relational thing here when you regenerate it. I don't understand the person that can walk away from the promise of God and say, I'll do it on my own. Let me move on down. Regeneration is the impartation of a new nature. Friends, it is something given. Now, herein lies the paradox of our Christian experience. And I want to talk to those of you that really haven't viewed regeneration like this, because I know you've been looking at us. And what I mean by that, representative Christians. If we're supposed to be living like new people, I know everybody in this room knows some church folk that are hilarious, that are a joke, that are the laughing stock of their community. Man, I know what those preachers do. Yeah, I know what those hypocrites do too. I won't mention the name, but I heard a preacher on television. I mentioned it earlier, but I won't do it because of the tape. I heard a preacher on television say this week that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was wrong and that he should not have died. That is abomination. If you want to know, I'll tell you off the tape who that was. Because, see, I can't afford a lawsuit for this beautiful Christian church. You know, for him trying to explain what he meant. Jesus had to die on Calvary. That murder had to take place. That murder was recorded before the foundation of the world. That Jesus Christ came to die, and he had to die the death of murder and rejection. And a preacher said that the crucifixion or the death of Jesus was wrong. Well, in that case, that preacher must not be saved. I know people. I know what religious people can do to you. They will take your mind, trick you and fool you, and then just ask, how much you going to put on the offering plate? I'm aware of that. That's the paradox. At times, we demonstrate by our lives that we don't possess the regenerated life at all. I know some of you may think that I do when I'm kind of harsh towards you. And I know what you're talking about, because sometimes I get frustrated. I was talking with my brother the other day. James, sometimes I get frustrated and I just lose my mind. I'm human. See, I'm human enough to tell you. I just lose my mind and say something that I shouldn't say. Now, how many preachers say, yeah, I said it, and you don't like it, and you can leave this church? Well, what they need to do is put that turkey in a box and exit right under that door right there. I know what preachers do, but 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 will give us some help. That's in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 is going to give us some help. We're going to talk about this paradox. What happens in us? 2 Peter chapter 1, what am I doing in 1 Peter? I don't know. All right, verses 3 and 4. Listen what Peter says here. He says, seeing that his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, when you're regenerated, God gives you everything in your life pertaining to godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. In other words, because Christ chose you and is calling you, He's given you everything. I don't mean materialistic, because you're going to get that Cadillac when you go to job. You know what my old saying is, get a job, get a life. See, you know, you don't come to church and pray for a Cadillac. You don't come to church and pray for a brand new suit. You get a job and you get a life. See, you know, God says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. If a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. And we know that all infidels are in for hell. Thank you. And so, see, God knows what he's doing. See. And verse 4 puts it this way. For by these, that is, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. I want to stop right there. When you're born again and regenerated, God has promised all of you his precious and magnificent promises. Tony and I were talking this week, and see, Tony and I are kind of like crazy sometimes. He called me and we get on the phone, and I said, Tony, if the church is not raptured before the end times, I'd love to be one of them witnesses left. You know, the witnesses that they want to beat up and kill and they come back to life. I said, Tony, I would love to be witnessing for Christ and for somebody to come up with a gun and just put it right there and let me die doing that. Tony and I just laughed hilariously and shouted. He says, man, that is great. What a way to leave life, witnessing for him. And did you know that some of these church folks, when they ask about abortion, and because four or five people in their family then had abortions, they don't want to hurt nobody. Well, you know, I don't want to give an opinion. You better give God's opinion. Abortion is murder. I don't care if I've had one. If I was a female and had one, amen. Jesus said, go and sin no more. You see, you don't get caught up in what you did that you didn't know about. You go and you sin no more. Let me give you some other good stuff from the Word of God here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. I'm talking about what the new birth is all about. Look what he says. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, to Timotheus, and he says, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, this is a beautiful line here, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, you know what this text is saying? When you're born again and regenerated, the new you, Jody, has taken place. The new Jody. Parents, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell your kids. Every kid, like Tony Jr., you went up there in that baptism pool with me, and you really accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? Tony Jr., no, you will never, based upon your commitment to Jesus Christ, become a person that uses drugs, because he's going to keep you from doing that. That's what being regenerated is all about. Colossians 3:10, back that up. That's the next book over. Or two books over, Philippians and then Colossians. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new self, or the new man in the King James Version, who is renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. When you're regenerated, you have a new knowledge about who you are. I was talking with another good brother, and, you know, he teases me a lot about my blackness, you know. He says, Coleman, you need to get black. You're not black enough. And I said, I know who I am. I don't have a problem with the color of my skin. I don't preach like a lot of black preachers because I know what black preachers are all about. They drive our people because we're very emotional people. I'm a different black preacher. I strive for this. I want the black man to use his brain. Come on, man. This is not a white man's religion here. This is God's word that can do something to us. But when it comes to the spiritual sense, verse 10 says, when you're regenerated, you put on the new man, and you're renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. In other words, God does this. I know who I am in Christ. So I never act outside of character. I shouldn't say never because I spoke to my deacon wrong one day. I try not to act outside of character. You see what the new man would do? The new man even admits that he sins. Some people become Christians. Oh, man, I never sin. I'm justified in me. God's happy with me. Man, I mean, hey, look at what I do. I give my money. Isn't that all you want? I would say, you better take a good look at my hand. I don't see a nail print there. What do you mean, what I want? I didn't die for you. What does he want? Through the Word. See, my friend, being regenerated makes you a different kind of individual. Thus, we understand it to be nothing less than a divine impulse. And I had to look up a scripture, lastly, for a divine impulse, and I'm going to end because I've gone too far already, but I'm enjoying this. But I want you to go to Acts chapter 16. I want to show you what a divine impulse is. Acts chapter 16 is that wonderful passage of scripture that communicates to us when this lady named Lydia came to know Jesus Christ. She was a seller of purple. I'm going to let you know how and why regeneration takes place. I want to start at Acts chapter 16. I'll let you get there, and then I'll give you the verse. Regeneration is a divine impulse. And the verse that I want you to look down to is verse 14. Verse 14. I'll start with verse 13 so we can build it within the context. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. This is Paul and his missionary group, Sister Lewis. So they're sitting down by the river. They say, well, women meet there to have a prayer meeting. So they just sat down to join with them. Now look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric, that means that she was a businesswoman. She wasn't a woman that just stayed home and cooked food. She was a businesswoman. Yeah, you can be a Christian woman and a businesswoman. Now, some preachers think that all women are supposed to do is stay home and have babies and cook supper. That's not true. This was a business. And I don't think that after she became a Christian, Sister Frost, that she stopped selling that purple. You see, once you become a Christian, you don't disengage your mind and become a hermit. Now look what happened. It says that she was a seller of fabrics and a worshiper of God was listening. In other words, she was seeking truth. She was just like me and you, friends. She met with a group of women and she said, let's pray and perhaps God's going to do something in us. She didn't know anything about Christianity, anything. But God sent Paul and them boys down there and you notice what happened. And it says in the latter part of that verse, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. That's divine impulse. See, my friends, when you're regenerated is when you're sitting down and you're listening to the Word of God, and then the Lord opens your heart to respond to what He's doing, and that's when the new birth takes place. That's why you can't see it. Nobody saw Lydia get born again. She was sitting down there. God had opened up her heart. God sent Paul in the missionary group, and you know, Paul didn't go down there and say, now wait, I'm the beloved apostle. Stand up and bow down and kiss my ring. You don't know who I am. What he probably did is got down there when they was washing out that dyed purple garment, since Paul was a tent maker by trade. Paul probably, I don't know this, probability, don't quote me, Paul probably got down there like a good Christian man should do, is get down there and start washing out that garment. He said, yeah, I figured if you wash this way, it'll come out better. What y'all doing here? I can see. Well, we just meet to have prayer. Paul says, that's good. Who are you praying to? Lydia says, interesting. Well, if God is alive, we need to honor him and worship him. I can't keep going back and forth. I'd be all day. But at that point, what Paul did is he opened to her the word of God and the divine impulse took place. Now look at the response of the women and Lydia in verse 15. And when she and her household had been baptized, since they're at the river, they accepted the message, the divine impulse took place. Paul baptized them. She urged us, this is the writer Luke speaking, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. That's so sweet. She didn't say, if you have judged me to be faithful to you, O blessed apostle of the first church at Corinth. She said, if you find me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. In other words, she insisted that the missionary group spend a few days with her as she and the monies of her business cared for them, gave them food, and sent them on the way. Friends, that's the way regeneration takes place. Now, I don't see this woman speaking in tongues. I don't see them laying hands on her. I don't see her falling out. I don't see her foaming at the mouth. I just see a gentle discussion taking place at the riverside. And the Lord opened her heart, and she said, now, if you have found me faithful to the Lord, come and let me bless you. In other words, she didn't become tightwad Christian. Certain Christians, when they get saved, first thing they do is, well, how much are they going to want? I think we have a beautiful experience here. Let me conclude by saying this. Is regeneration necessary? According to the doctrine of salvation, it is. Yes, it's necessary on a universal level. We see people all around us all the time. And listen, friends, you're going to see most of these people in somebody's church. One of my members called me this morning and said that a man, pastor of one of the biggest churches in this town, said on television this morning that God is not greater than men. And I questioned my member. I said, because she's not able to be here this morning. I said, what? No, you didn't hear that. She said, I heard him say that man is greater than God because God could never think up the idea to make dope. That's a quote. And my member says, pastor, I'm I said, don't be shaken. There are men in churches this morning that have taken God's ability and everything and transferred it to them. And that's all Mormonism teaches, that you can become a god. And these new so-called faith churches, that's all they're teaching, is that you can take it from God and you can become it. Christianity is not that way at all. Yes, regeneration is necessary because sin has affected the whole of human race. There is no one that is exempt. I've been affected. You've been affected. Then I'm going to end up with this. Yes, because man can do nothing without it. Old Testament again. Jeremiah. I thought I was finished. I'm sorry. I forgot I put this now. Let's go to Jeremiah right quick. It's important. You will find here at Olivet that we use our Bibles. And you will find that as we use our Bibles, I don't seem to be excited. I am. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Now this is, I want you to mark this one, because this one you should never get. God asked the question, can the Ethiopian change his skin? In other words, can a black man stop being black? Are the leopard his spots? That's impossible. Then you also can do good who are accustomed to do evil. In other words, the writer is saying, how can you do good if you are accustomed to doing evil? Just like the black man can't change and become a white man on his own, and a spotted leopard cannot change to become unspotted, you nor I can change our sinful condition. Is this the last scripture? Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 in the New Testament. Beautiful promise from the Word of God. And I love the Word of God because without it, I'm lost. Paul says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we're left with this conclusion. What do we need? We need to be regenerated. We need Christ's power in our lives.